Good afternoon, TGP. It's Tuesday, August the 3rd, 2021. This is In the Know, episode 8. So I felt too bad yesterday to record anything or really even to write anything, so I stayed home. I wore myself out in those 25 minutes on Sunday. But I didn't feel great. I wasn't better like I hoped. So I tried to take it easy, and I'm back in the saddle today. I probably don't sound much better than I did on Sunday, but I do feel, about the same. Whatever this cold is, it's been nasty. I don't know of any pressing announcements other than that life groups are meeting right now. So please see a life group leader, get involved in life groups. So let's just jump right in. I want to talk about I have a cup of coffee with me right now. I'm just caffeine and adrenaline at this point, you know? So I'm working with some coffee, so I've got it. I'm going to set it down. This is probably going to make a noise because of this awesome mic. There it goes. So I want to mention J.I. Packer's Knowing God. It's a Christian classic, and I'm convinced everyone would be better off for reading it, perhaps multiple times. I want to offer some quotes from his chapter called The Love of God, and I want to give you some of his other arguments as to what he means when he qualifies that phrase, God is love, with other biblical phrases like God is spirit and God is light. It's really a fascinating and helpful study, but it's too long to quote at length here, which is why I said, grab the book, give it a read. You won't be worse for it. In the second paragraph, Packer says, to know God's love is indeed heaven on earth. And the New Testament sets forth this knowledge, not as the privilege of a favored few, but as a normal part of ordinary Christian experience, something to which only the spiritually unhealthy or malformed will be strangers. And here is another stunning quote that also ties together God's love with creation. He says, God was happy without humans before they were made. He would have continued happy had he simply destroyed them after they had sinned. But as it is, he has set his love upon particular sinners. And this means that by his own free voluntary choice, he will not know perfect and unmixed happiness again till he has brought every one of them to heaven. He has, in effect, resolved that henceforth for all eternity, his happiness shall be conditional upon ours. Wow. Maybe go back and read or listen to that a couple more times and let that truth sink in with you. Because that's incredible. When God chooses to love sinners, he makes what would otherwise be his unconditional happiness conditional upon bringing us to himself forever and thereby making us most happy in him. That's amazing. As I mentioned Sunday, God is love is not the whole truth as it relates to God's nature. Packer does mention, however, that for the Christian, this is what matters most because this is our experience. Unbelievers do not experience the wonders of God's love in the same way that Christians do. They know his general love and common grace, but only believers, those in the covenant, know his particular grace and covenant love. So yes, God loves everyone, but God doesn't love everyone the same way. Our experience of God as those whose sins have been dealt with is profoundly different now and into eternity from those who are still in their sins under the law and strangers to the covenant. Packer takes Jesus' statement from John 4 that God is spirit, and he essentially says that it contrasts with the flesh. By this, he essentially means that unlike humans, God is unchanging, eternal, and unbound by any external constraints. This is good news. because his love can therefore be eternal and unchanging when set upon sinners. He also says, light means holiness and purity as measured by God's law. Darkness means moral perversity and unrighteousness as measured by the same law. You can see John, 1 John 2, 7-11 and 3:10. And this is when he's talking about God as light. He says further, so the God who is love is first and foremost light. And sentimental ideas of his love as an indulgent, benevolent softness divorced from moral standards and concerns must therefore be ruled out from the start. God's love is holy love. That's excellent. These two additional biblical statements about what and who God is qualify the statement that God is love so that it protects us from a merely human view of God's love and essentially making God in our image rather than the other way around. But it is such good news that God is love and that we know the God who is love. I pray that your heart rejoices in that fact. So I'm quickly going to address the mask mandate that Governor Edwards issued yesterday. First, I want to make clear once again the one thing I'm absolutely convinced of and know for sure. Our unity as a church is more important than any of the COVID policies and procedures. As we've said from the beginning, and as our elders have reaffirmed this time, anything that we do, we want to do with cheerful, glad hearts and do it as a means of preserving the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. That's Ephesians 4:3. Paul tells us to be eager to maintain that. So I read the text of Governor Edwards' proclamation, and as he did previously in 2020, he again explicitly states that he will not penalize or enforce this upon religious institutions. And once again, we can be grateful that he has not sought to usurp the authority of God and his church to tell them how they may and may not worship. That's good and right. So whatever else you feel about whether or not he ought to be able to issue mandates or even whether or not it's the government's job to keep individuals and families safe, we can and should thank God that our governor has not imposed this mandate upon religious groups and churches. So having said that, we are operating basically the same way we have for the last year and a half through this pandemic. We are not adopting an official requirement for masks for all people, nor will we question any individual who chooses to refrain from wearing a mask, but we are strongly encouraging masks. We will also remove about 4 rows of chairs to create more distance between rows so that you can socially distance better. As we said then, we also affirm now, if you believe your health is best protected or that our body is best protected by your remaining at home over the next month of this mask mandate, we will continue live streaming our services and we will miss you dearly. So here's what we're asking. Pray about what you ought to do and make the decision that you believe before God is best. To make it a requirement for attendance to wear a mask, we believe is unwise because we do not want to put you, any of our members, in a position of whether or not you will obey us. We want your obedience, trust, and worship directed toward God. So let me give this final word. We will also choose to think the best of the people around us. If someone chooses to wear a mask, we will not assume that that person is believing lies, is sinfully fearful about a virus, or is simply a rule-following conformist at heart. Likewise, if someone chooses not to wear a mask, we will not assume that that person is believing lies, sinfully fearful about losing individual freedoms, or simply a rule-breaking rebel at heart. Now, this might be true about any particular individual, but we're going to choose to trust the Spirit to show this to our brothers and sisters and to deal with that in their hearts. So before you come to church on Sunday, settle in your heart before the Lord what you will do. Deal with your sinful fears, if you have some, and if you can identify what they might be, and ask the Spirit to help you assume the best about the men and women around you with whom you will spend eternity worshiping Jesus. Let that thought relativize the current moment. It's just not as important as our unity as the body. We must fight against our flesh to grant our brothers and sisters the benefit of the doubt in these matters. And in this way, mask, no mask, does not have to be a divisive issue. Just know that your elders love you and are praying for you. Have a great week. I love you, people.